The Fox News Channel and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning. It is 9-10-2020, September the 10th, 2020. Tomorrow is 9-11 already. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Man, we've got another bounce going on here today. That NASDAQ came down to the 50-day moving average 2 days ago, and like a trampoline, it's bouncing off of that big time yesterday, and another big bounce today. Now, we're not back to where we were before all of this began, but we're very happy to see this very, very healthy bounce taking place in the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 right now. Right now, we've got the Dow up 161. We're back above 28,000. We're at 28,101 right now. The NASDAQ is up 163, something like that, bouncing around here. It's back above 11,000. It's at 11,000. It's up 141. 11,282. We're still about 800 points below that intraday high of 12,050 that it set a week ago Wednesday. The S&P is up 23. It's bouncing off of its support level for the second day in a row. It's back to 3421. Small caps up 0.9%. They're just kind of hugging. The small cap index is just hugging its support line, not really getting any kind of a big bounce off of there like the others. Crude oil's down 5 cents to $38. Gold, again, strong day yesterday, strong day today, up $17 per share. PPI comes a little hotter than expected, 1972 on gold and 071 on the bond market. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. My takeaway from yesterday's trading was it was excellent. It was a bounce off the 50-day moving average for the NASDAQ, and it's good to see follow through again today. Maybe that was an event caused by a big whale. And that big whale was SoftBank, who we were loading up on option trades at a very lofty time in the NASDAQ. And that may have caused some of that very swift 10% kick in the pants. And now the NASDAQ bouncing off 50-day moving average pretty hard here again for the second day in a row. I'm still seeing weakness, however. I wouldn't go storming back into the highfalutin, high PE, high price to sales, high book value, high price to cash flow, you name it, helium-type valuations. I wouldn't go running back into those stocks. You know who they are, a lot of the work-from-home stocks and a lot of the cloud stocks, some of the helium ones. There's good ones in the sector. But there's also a lot of very inflated valuations. I would look at PEs, forward PEs, and I would look at PEG ratios. You know, the average PEG or the average PE on the NASDAQ right now is 51, which is high. Look at a stock and compare it with the average NASDAQ stock, which is 51. The average forward PE on the NASDAQ is about 34. Compare your stocks with that, and the average PEG ratio is about 2.7. So I see stocks that are trading at four times those valuations. Those are the ones that I would tend to continue to avoid here. Yesterday, I saw a big bounce in the chip stocks, especially NVIDIA. NVIDIA seems to be one that people just want to own. NVIDIA had a very nice bounce yesterday. Let's see if it's following through here today. These are just the ones that caught my eye on my daily trip through hundreds and hundreds of stock charts. NVIDIA today, NVDA, is up a little bit here following on. It's up, well, it's up another 1.7% after yesterday's big bounce. The gold stocks were very strong yesterday. I particularly noted Goldfields, GFI. I took note of the gold miners ETF, which is GDX, had a very strong day yesterday. Fiverr, the online retail stocks had a good bounce yesterday, and following through today, Fiverr, Amazon. But on the other hand, Wayfair and some of these really highly inflated stocks without earnings, those are continue to be ones I would not go running back into. I wasn't in them in the first place. They were trading to some silly, let's just call it silly heights before this all kind of came unwound here a few days ago. Caterpillar hit a new high yesterday, not sure why, but it hit a new high. And a couple of interesting stocks that I have my my antennas up for. TXG, interesting technology stock in the biotech industry that I'm doing some more research on. TXG, kind of a breakthrough biotech technology stock. So a lot to talk about here today. It's a fun time to be in the market. It's a fun time to see new innovations, new developments, new breakthroughs in medical and bioscience and technology. And it's interesting to see new leaders emerge, replacing the old school Kimberly Clark's. A long time ago, Cisco, IBM, the old school stocks. And we continue to have a theme here of best stocks now, not best stocks of yesteryear, best stocks now. Okay, well, let's take a look. We had a nice recovery yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 2.7% yesterday, and right now up another 1.5% or so. You had the Dow up 440 yesterday after quite a sharp sell-off over about a 3 or 4 day period of time. And you know what? It came down to that 50-day moving average. The averages did, the indexes, and that always puts us on high alert to see if those are going to hold. It's kind of like the water rising on a dam right up to the brim, and you want to see if that dam is going to hold so we don't get clobbered downstream. Well, so far, those support levels in the NASDAQ and many important indexes and many important stocks, for the most part, are holding, and they're holding quite firmly here. Initial jobless claims came in today. It looks like maybe we're under a million now for good. That was an ugly number. Remember those numbers of 7 million jobs lost in 1 week, or initial jobless claims? Then it started to ratchet down to 4 million, and then 3 million, and then 2 million, and then 1 million. Where are we at now? 884,000 initial jobless claims today. So let's keep it under a million. That's big, big progress that we've made in the jobs market. The producer price index, the PPI, tomorrow we get the CPI. But the PPI comes in a little bit stronger than expected. Now, normally, when the PPI comes in stronger than expected, you worry about the Fed. Oh, boy, the Fed, which is ultra-hypersensitive to inflation. Of course, the Fed has changed their policy, really, on inflation, allowing for a little wider range on inflation. They're not going to get too hot and bothered if inflation were to get over 2%, moving up towards 3%, the PPI comes in at 0.6 for the quarter, or for the month, and 0.3 was expected. So that's causing a little sell-off in the bond market today. You're seeing interest rates go up to 0.71. And it's also helpful to the gold markets today, which are tacking on a little bit more. on yesterday's move. The ECB keeps rates unchanged. There's no surprise there. They continue their emergency purchase program. Suffice it to say that you've got the world banks all over the place, around the world, globally, in a very accommodative mode for the stock market. I think the 30-year mortgage right now is at 2.78. Go and get your single-family home while that rate lasts. A lot of news in individual stocks today. Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett surprises again. What is he buying now? This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with Dow up 155 right now. S&P up 23 points. That's 0.7%. NASDAQ up 141. That's up 1.3% today. Okay, what's Warren up to now? Well, I've brought your attention to an upcoming IPO by the name of Snowflake. Snowflake, that's right, the symbol S-N-O-W. It has not gone public yet, but it has a pretty good pedigree. This is a CEO that also brought ServiceNow public. Without question, ServiceNow is one of the members of my wall of fame, I call it, here at my office, of some of the big winners that we have found over the years, very early on. ServiceNow is one of the biggest winners, and we continue to own ServiceNow. Now he's the same CEO is bringing another company public called Snowflake. The symbol will be S-N-O-W. ServiceNow is N-O-W. Snowflake will be S-N-O-W. Cloud computing high flyer said in the filing last night that Berkshire Hathaway will buy $250 million in Class A shares in a private placement at a price equal to the IPO price. Yeah, you know, Buffett hasn't really been a big fan of buying into IPOs, but he has done it in the past. Berkshire invested in Brazilian financial tech StoneCo as it went public in October 2018. I think that I'm pretty sure he still owns that position, a financial technology company, Brazilian company. He also bought a fairly relatively new issue named Geico. Way back when, and that continues to be one of his core holdings. He bought it somewhere near $1 per share. 6 years later, it was at $95 per share. So he has had a small history of buying companies either out of the gate or just out of the gate. The Snowflake investment is pretty small, $750 million is all, compared to the $150 billion in cash that he has. But that obviously gives Snowflake quite a bit of credibility to attract Warren Buffett, maybe trying to boost his alpha there at Berkshire Hathaway, getting in on an IPO Snow. And I will be on the lookout for when that company does go public. I will add it to my app, and we'll let it compete. Okay, may the best stock win out there, and we'll see how it does. But very good pedigree there. In fact, you know, I can't believe how many IPOs are lined up on the runway right now, it may be a record number of IPOs. You know, it's like going to LAX, Los Angeles Airport, and looking out, looking east in the skyline and seeing all of these jumbo jets just lined up. You can see the lights as far as the eye can see of these jumbo jets readying to land at LAX. That looks like the IPO runway right now. I have them all listed here, and I check for them, and as they come public, I do add them to my app. All right, how are we doing on the malls? Macerich, that stock has been pummeled, by the way, announces 44 out of 47 real retail properties are now reopened. You've got some easing COVID-19 restrictions in New York City and also in California. There's only three of their big shopping centers that are still closed. Let's just say it's coming back very, very slowly. The epicenter continues to be New York City. You know, they did get a little bit of a break. The restaurants restaurant dining can resume in about, 3 weeks? But at 25% capacity, and, of course, it's going to get cold in New York City pretty soon, and that 25% capacity that's on the outside, on the patios, they're probably going to lose that as it's going to be too cold to sit outside. So there's still a big, big problem in New York City. The Manhattan rental market sinks as the number of empty apartments triples. Last year at this time, there were 15,000 empty rental apartments in Manhattan in August. Or 1 year ago, there was 5,600. Today, there's 15,000 empty apartments. The inventory of empty units is the largest ever recorded since data started being collected 14 years ago. That's in New York. That's in Manhattan, once the most busiest city centers in the world. Not anymore. Major League Baseball in the final stages of postseason bubble. Well, you know what? Short season is just what the doctor ordered for my San Diego Padres. They're there. They're in the hunt. They definitely are going to make the playoffs. But, of course, it is a shortened season. I'm sure there will be an asterisk next to whoever wins the pennants in the respective leagues, whoever wins the World Series. CNBC or MLB has selected California and Texas as the neutral locations to hold the playoffs in California's Dodger Stadium and Petco Park in San Diego, where I've spent many a chilly evening. Now I'm 3,000 miles away. And the other site will be the Texas Rangers' new park, which is indoors in Arlington. So, hey, 16 teams entering those playoffs. My Padres will be one of them. It's a miracle. There is a God after all. Patient diagnosis in COVID-19 vaccine trial still pending for AstraZeneca. You know, they had to halt their trials here because one patient came down with an illness and they have to trace. They have to figure out what that illness is. It's pretty much a routine kind of thing, but they are zeroing in on what that illness might be before they can restart their trials, clinical trials. Here's another issue with all of this. This would be the largest single transport challenge ever. How many planes are needed to deliver coronavirus vaccine globally? Just providing a single dose to 7.8 billion people would fill 8,000 Boeing 747 cargo aircraft. Chew on that during the break. When we come back, I'll give you something else to chew on. What's Martha Stewart up to now? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. and welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now radio. What's in the air over there at Martha Stewart's kitchen, huh? Canopy Growth partners with Martha Stewart to launch a new line of products. All right. Canopy Growth is a major marijuana stock. Cannabis, I guess it's called these days. Symbol is CGC. How is this helping the stock? Well, it gives it some credibility, I suppose, but the stock continues pretty much in a sideways funk. Canopy Growth announces the launch of Martha Stewart CBD, a new line of premium quality hemp-derived wellness supplements with flavor profiles inspired by some of Martha's most popular recipes. Okay. All right. We'll keep our eye on that one. Canopy Growth CGC. Coming in blood orange, Meyer lemon. You could even get wellness gummies in a citrus medley. On those days when the NASDAQ's down 100, or try the berry medley CBD product from Martha. Tesla. Okay. Tesla's bouncing. You know what? Tesla is one of the culprits. Tesla's bouncing hard, in fact. Hard and fast. It's up $29 per share today. Back to 400, almost, 395, 7.96%. Tesla is higher in early trading with a couple of positive reports out on the EV maker, automaker. German publications report that Tesla plans to buy an additional 30 acres of land near the site of its planned new German factory. Well, that's a good sign. There must be some pretty big demand over there in the land of Mercedes. Actually, Mercedes are built in South Carolina, what their SUVs are. And in Austin, Texas, they're aiming to be the first completion of a Gigafactory Texas in May of next year should be when they can start producing their Cybertrucks. Cybertrucks hitting the road next year. Tesla's having a big, big bounce here today. Taiwan Semiconductor reports August revenues up 15.9% month over month. Hey, that's very good numbers. Taiwan TSM is a stock I own in my dividend and growth portfolio, okay? It does pay a dividend of 1.6%, but more importantly, it's not a non-growth company such as an AT&T or a Altria Group or an IBM. They may pay fatter dividends, but there's no earnings growth that comes with those dividends. Well, Taiwan is expected to grow by 19.7% per year over the next 5 years, and you're getting a 1.8% dividend. To me, as you grow those earnings, number one, it gives you the opportunity for capital appreciation on top of the dividends, which I don't see in the AT&Ts, the IBMs of the world. And in addition to that, as their earnings grow and increase, it also gives Taiwan Semiconductor the ability to increase their dividend. Does it not? So to me, it's the best of all worlds. I currently own TSM in my dividend and growth portfolio. You know, Overstock, it's a weird company. It's just a weird company. I don't know if it wants to be a Bitcoin company or a sofa company delivering sofas online, you know. Overstock recently ran up to $128.58, despite never making 1 cent in earnings in the last 5 years. It's lost money every single year. Their sales continue to grow. In fact, their most recent quarter, their sales were up 109%. And they did actually have a profitable quarter, but a lot of that was COVID. But Overstock has also been a player in the Bitcoin market. Now, Overstock.com announces that the financial industry regulatory authority has approved the membership application of its T0 markets. This will allow overstock customers to open a retail brokerage account for digital securities and provide issuers with investment banking and placement agent services in connection with capital raising activity. Maybe they should split that portion of the business off from overstock. Kind of weird. On the one hand, they're going to be a big brokerage firm and a big player in the Bitcoin, taking Bitcoin offerings or other offerings, not Bitcoin offerings, but other digital currencies, taking them public and whatnot, and trading in digital securities. Well, that news has got the overstock people all aflutter this morning. Stock up 23.7% on that news. Of course, Bitcoin, very popular with the millennials and, others, you know. People always ask me, Bill, what do you think of Bitcoin? I just say, you know what, I don't know what to think. I find enough good companies, good stocks that have real products and new innovations, and something I can actually place a valuation on, you know? Something tangible. Bitcoin to me is so intangible. The only way I know how to trade it is technically. I mean, when it's overbought, sell it. And when it's oversold, buy it. And watch the technicals. Look at the one-year charts. Aaron's guides Q3 outlook above consensus. Well, that's good news. Aaron's is a kind of a low-end furniture, electronics company. That stock is breaking out today on that news. Aaron's, AAN. So the economy continues to try to rebound from a near shutdown in Q2 of this year. Penn National Gaming, getting a lot of buzz these days. Of course, the NFL back in business tonight in Kansas City versus the Houston Texans. Big game coming up Sunday with Tampa Bay and Brady. And, of course, college football. I was talking to some Clemson fans last night. They're excited. Clemson opens up their season against Wake Forest. That ought to be a massacre. Penn National Gaming, PENN, getting a new high target price. They are the owner of Barstool Sports, which kind of competes with DraftKings. It seems like all of these entertainment sports type companies are looking to make a lot of revenue in the future off of gambling on sports. Penn National Gaming, PENN, which I've owned in the past and it's on my watch list, they get a price target of 80 from Rosenblatt. The stock is at 62 right now, so that's pretty good. I've also noticed that DraftKings has been pretty perky here recently. DKNG, well, you got baseball playoffs coming up. You got NFL starting tonight. You've got college football starting Saturday. So that's getting a little life back into these sports gambling stocks. Major players in the sports field. Visa partners with PayPal. That's a good team there. I like both of those stocks. They're going to partner in Braintree, Hyperwallet, iZettle. Okay, you can iZettle together, the two of them together. 76% of U.S. small to medium-sized businesses say they've struggled with cash flow shortages in the last few months. Yeah. And they would like to see real-time settlement capabilities, which, of course, helps cash flow. You don't have to wait for the customer to pay. If they do pay, you get settlement immediately. Both of those stocks, let's just check in on PayPal, which was bouncing hard yesterday to the upside. I continue to like PayPal. They're a major player out there. To me, PayPal's a little more tangible than Bitcoin. And on the other hand, Visa is also bouncing very hard off of its 50-day moving average, too. So that is a good team there. One other one, Restoration Hardware. You know what? That's been a great stock with people staying at home, with people remodeling their homes, with people with a little bit of jingle jangle in their pockets. They're going to Restoration Hardware, which has a huge online business. Restoration Hardware reports earnings exploding to the upside today. That stock is up $72 per share, or 22%. Is that not a good sign overall for the U.S. economy? I think so. When we come back, two stocks, three stocks to talk about, including our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now radio. Well, some of the air has come out of the tires of the Dow. The Dow is now up just 24 points. It was up over 100. It is back below 28,000 at 27,974. The S&P is up just 6 points. The NASDAQ's holding on to a 63-point gain. That's 0.6%, but things have come back a little bit since we started the show. All right, well, let's take a look here. There's two stocks I want to mention here in the last quarter. The first one is Shopify competitor BigCommerce. I don't own this stock. It's a recent IPO. It's one of the more sexy IPOs that we've had recently. We know what Shopify has done. And watching BigCommerce, who is the kind of the second Shopify to go public, I've been keeping my eyes on it. They did report their first quarterly earnings since going public, and it didn't exactly thrill anybody. Their revenue was up 33% quarter over quarter. Not the kind of growth that you'd want to see attached to a company that's trading at very, very lofty valuations. By contrast, Shopify's most recent quarter, their sales were up 97%. So BigCommerce, a little slow out of the gate, really getting that acceleration in sales growth. 33%, not that great, and the stock is being punished for that. But I'm going to continue to watch this company. Sometimes it takes a bit for these kinds of stocks to get going. BigCommerce came public at $24 per share about 2 months ago. It went to 162. Whoa, 162 in about a month. And now it's been cut in half back to 83. So extremely volatile, lofty valuations, big expectations if it can follow in Shopify's footsteps. So we'll continue to watch BIGC. We'll make our featured stock of the day a stock that is in the news today and bouncing hard off the 50-day moving average and bouncing again today. You have an upgrade coming on a price target raise coming from UBS ahead of their Q3 earnings report next week. UBS raises Adobe's price target from $450 to $540 per share. That's a big hike. The stock is currently trading at $494. And it's actually been as high as 540, so they're a little bit late to the party here, is UBS. But that's a big price target hike. Analyst Jennifer Swanson Lowe thinks the pandemic tailwind should bolster demand for Adobe products, and the potential for margin expansion remains underappreciated in the current street forecast. The analyst thinks Adobe's valuation remains attractive in the context of the broader market and thinks revenue and margin growth could drive further gains. Well, I agree with that assessment. Adobe is a large cap, non-dividend paying growth stock. Therefore, I own it in my premier growth portfolio. Adobe has delivered some significant alpha over the years, and at least this analyst expects it to continue to deliver alpha in the future with no guarantees. But you take a look over the last 10 years of Adobe, an investment in Adobe without a dividend has averaged 32% gain per year over the last 10 years. The market's 11.7, but it's been even hotter than that recently. Over the last 12 months, Adobe's up 73%, while the market's up 13. That's over the last 12 months. It's a momentum grade of A- right now. It gets a performance grade of A+. This is one of the top-performing stocks in the market. And stocks like this don't come cheap. That's why you have to have a little longer leash on the valuations here. But I currently have a valuation 5 years from now of 878, with the stock currently trading at 494. Adobe overall, when I weigh the momentum, the growth characteristics, the technicals of the stock, and the valuation potential, Adobe comes in at number 150 out of 5,333. It got down to number 40 during the NASDAQ sell-off because during the NASDAQ sell-off, it held up pretty well, and the valuation became more attractive. So that was on Wednesday, or actually on Tuesday, it was ranked number 40, and then the big bounce yesterday dropped it down to 150. But that's out of 5,333 stocks. It absolutely qualifies as a best stock now. These are the kind of companies you want to own. Dominant companies that have disrupted entire industries like Eastman Kodak. If I were to pick the biggest victim of Adobe, Eastman Kodak. Just like Amazon, you would look at Sears and JCPenney. And others, Adobe has disrupted many, many industries, the print industry, design industry, photography industry. You can go on and on and on. So we'll make Adobe our featured stock of the day, which I've featured it many times in the past. It's one of the big winners that we've been on for quite some time here at Gunderson Capital. Well, if you'd like to talk to us about a little bit more active, is anybody doing anything over where your portfolio is now? If you're managing your own portfolio, you know, a lot of the easy money has been made since March. It's going to be a lot tougher going forward with valuations really coming into play nowadays. I think that's going to be a very key factor, and I expect some added volatility here over the next few months as we approach this all-important election. If you'd like to get in touch with us, call one of my advisors at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Check out what we own, how we're doing, the portfolios we offer at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.